Please be advised that this interview contains some language which may not be appropriate for all audiences.
There's a very large company that throws like a employee picnic, but it is the most absurd type of event I've ever seen. And like it was just huge, and there was trapeze artists, and there were animals walking around on, like exotic animals on leashes. And I put something in there where they race on little toilet cars. That actually was there. Yeah, it was really, really weird. It was a weird party.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Regular Show Wiki's 15th anniversary interviews. Today's guest is a comic writer who penned five stories for the ongoing series with Tech Giant, Stakeout, Hooper for the Creature, Dandy Drive-In, and The Comeback. Please welcome Eddie Wright.
Hey, how you doing?
So we'll start from the beginning. What was it that originally made you want to work as a writer?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been really into writing. When I was a kid, I loved comics, obviously, and I loved TV and movies, and I've just always been drawn to telling stories. And so I started writing when I was in elementary school. I used to write horror stories and then read them to the class and stuff like that. And so I've just always been doing it. And then I kind of figured out how to do it professionally. I took like writing classes in college and creative writing and all of that kind of stuff. And then as I was, I used to be a video editor. And as I was working, I figured out how I wanted to be a writer instead of being a video editor. So I decided to write a book and self-publish it and see what I could do with that. And that ended up working out pretty well. And that led to me adapting it into a comic book, which then led to me getting some comic work. And there it kind of went from there.
How did you mainly get your start then in writing?
I mean, I got started, like, I kind of forced my way into it. Like, I did it by self-pub. I grew up playing in punk bands. And so it was part of a punk scene in New Jersey. And the way we did things was you didn't wait for any permission. You just kind of did it, and you put on your own shows and you made posters and flyers for your shows and you make demo tapes and hand them out and sell them. And so that's kind of the approach I took when it was like, when I was like, I want to try to like actually be a writer as opposed to just someone who writes for fun. And so I wrote a book. There were a lot of things going on with self-publishing at the time, which this was a long time ago now, but and I figured out like self-publishing to me felt the same as putting on a show with a band. And so I did it and I distributed it myself, and I had to learn how to build a website to promote it, and I networked and got to meet other writers and joined a collective and did all this kind of stuff. And then that led to actually getting hired and paid to write, and just by kind of, so I kind of like, it's just, foolish willful foolishness, whatever you'd want to call it. Yeah.
And so, how did all that kind of lead up to you working for the Regular Show Comics?
So when I became a, when I was no longer a video editor, I ended up getting a job at MTV. They used to have a website called MTV Geek, which was all comic books and science fiction and animation and stuff like that. And I was one of the first people who worked for it, and I was on the team that launched the website. And so I kind of did everything. Like, I wrote for the website and I did video stuff for them. I did interviews. It was mostly comics for this website, and a lot. And so through that, I got to know a lot of people in comics, and I just was in the world. And I always loved comics. Like growing up, I loved comics as a, superhero books, and through college, I got into the more, alternative indie books and Daniel Klaus and Charles Burns and such. And so, but I kind of like dropped off comics for a little while, and I wasn't really paying much attention to them. And then when I got this job, it like threw me back into the world. And I got really into it, and I was like, oh, maybe I should be writing comics, because that's like, and so I decided to adapt my book that I wrote into a comic. Because it felt like it lended itself really well to the medium. And so I started again, I just started self-publishing. I did a Kickstarter for it actually, and then started working on it. And I was at a convention. I had to go to conventions all the time for work at MTV, and so I knew a lot of people in PR who did like media and stuff like that for different publishers. And I knew someone from one publisher who knew someone at Boom, or I think it's Kaboom technically, the kids line in Boom Studios. And she introduced me to someone there, and I was able to pitch ideas for the regular show book. And I mentioned when we were at this party, I mentioned it was like an after show party thing. I mentioned to her like how much I liked the show Regular Show, and I don't remember how long the comic had been running at that time, or if it was new. I can't really remember, but I was like, I think the type of stuff, I like that show a lot, and I think I'd do a really good job writing it. And so she put me in touch with someone, and then I was able to pitch a bunch of ideas, and they went with several of them. And yeah, it's just kind of like a met someone who knew someone. Yeah.
And so the first story you did was Tech Giant. What were kind of like your main influences for this story?
The story was inspired by there's a very large company that throws like a employee, it's like an employee picnic, but it is the most absurd story, like type of event I've ever seen. And like it was just huge, and there was trapeze artists, and there were animals walking around on, like exotic animals on leashes. And I put something in there where they race on little toilet cars. That actually was there. And I just thought the absurdity of this gigantic company taking over a park, and it just was very like, I thought it was really weird, but also really disturbing and troubling, like how. And so I just thought it kind of lended itself to like, because they work in a park, it would be like, it'd be interesting if like a gigantic tech company took over the whole park, and then they were actually trying to summon some sort of robotic creature from the depths. Just because like, there's just a natural, any company that's that got has that much money can't be doing good things, And so I just thought it'd be fun to, it would seem like a good vessel for the characters.
I'm assuming you didn't uncover a cult when you
No,
experienced it.
I made that. It was just a party that I went to. It was just a very big party, and I just kind of, I made up a cult thing. Nothing actually evil, obviously evil, happened at this party. It was just a gigantic thing with drunken tech people. Yeah.
Because they at the beginning they kind of list out all the different things that are there. They've got like a bouncy castle, a water cannon game, ice skating rink. Were all these things directly pulled from that, or just...
I don't remember. There definitely were like all of that type of stuff. I think there was an ice skating rink, and then there were the toilet carts, and there were, yeah, it was all, I don't remember specifically if they were like that kind of stuff, but it was like, and like, yeah, and like the exotic, I think I put the exotic animals walking around. Like there were like people walking bears around and stuff like that.
With what you said about the like the go-kart toilets, that completely surprised me that you said that was just taken from real life, because that sounds like the kind of crazy thing that would just be added there for extra surrealism for regular show, but the fact that's actually real.
Yeah, it was real. Yeah, I almost like, I remember when I used it, when I, and I was like, am I even allowed, like, do these people, the people who like provide go-kart toilets to events, like, are they going to have it? Like, is this trademarked? I remember being like, oh, am I even allowed to use these things? And I don't think anybody actually knew they were real. So they just thought I made them up, but they were real. Yeah, it was really, really weird. It was a weird party.
The next one was Stakeout. What were kind of your main influences for this story?
I don't remember the exact influence for it. I just remember that I thought it was interesting because High Five Ghost's brother was a cop, on the show, and I just like I think I honestly I wish I could remember more, but I just think I wanted the idea of using a cop, and I thought it would be fun if it was a stakeout. I probably watched something that had a stakeout in it, I'm sure. That's probably where it came from. I probably was watching a movie and they were doing a stakeout, and I thought it'd be fun if they did this. I don't really remember the this one definitely wasn't taken from like, oh, I went to a thing or I've been on a stakeout, but this yeah, I think I just made this one up. It's really yeah, that was a fun one. I love Pops. He was my favorite character.
I think that does somewhat show because you've got another story which centers around Pops. But before we get onto that, we'll get onto the next story which you did, which was Cuppa for the Creature. So this story is kind of unique. There's no park people in it. It's fully centered around Eileen. What were your main influences for this one?
I really liked her as a character. I also think she's just like the way she was illustrated, I thought was just like I just liked her. I thought she was really fun, and I liked that she was obsessed with Rigby. So I just really I probably thinking back, I probably watched an episode and just like she did something, and I just thought it would be fun to focus on her rather than focus on Mordecai and Rigby for once. It's just like it's fun to take the little like the characters who have less to do and do something with them. I remember when I would pitch these, I would pitch, you'd pitch like maybe five story ideas at a time, and they'd go with one or two, or they'd reject all of them. And so I'm sure this was one with like several others that I pitched, and they went for it. But it just seemed like he's a fun character.
And it's kind of funny there's an Eileen story because it was also paired with another Eileen backup comic. Only 2 pages, but it was always cool how they were kind of put together like that.
Yeah, they would often the way you pitch them, it would be like, do you want to can you do a I can't remember the exact number of it'd be like, do you have any ideas for a 5-page story? Do you have any ideas for a 2-page story? Do you have any ideas for a 1-page story? It would be like that because they needed to fill the rest of the issue. So some of them were like, oh yeah, here's an idea that could work in. I think I did 1-pagers, which were really hard to come up with an idea for with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Comics is tough because writing them, I mean, and certainly drawing them is even harder, but you have to break down the story into panels, like it's these key moments. And so often you find yourself when you're trying to tell an entire story, especially in being trying to be as brief as possible, it's hard to not make the artist draw, 15 panels or 20 panels, which when I first started doing this, that's how my scripts were. And it just like was way too much. And so actually when I first my first paid comics thing was a regular show. And the first script I did was impossible for an artist to draw because there was just way too many panels. I honestly thought of it going back to video editing, like I thought of it similar to like edits, like you say something, I say something, you say something, I say something, when really you have to remove all of the dialogue and just have like, what are the key things they could say? And can you put them in the same panel? And if you need them to go back and forth, there's got to be a reason and tension and all of that. And so it was a real learning experience trying to figure all this stuff out.
We'll move on to the fourth story which you did, which was Dandy Drive-In. It's a lot of fun, and you mentioned on how you kind of had a punk upbringing, and so I can see how maybe that has translated itself into the comic. So yeah, what were your other sort of influences aside from the obvious?
I was there's a an Australian, I think it's an Australian movie called Dead End Drive-In. Dead End Drive-In, and it's like kind of a Mad Maxy kind of like Ozploitation movie. And so that's where the title comes from, and the idea of like a roving band of punks. Like very Mad Maxy, but this has really no other connection. I just like the sound of that title, and so I stole it. But I just really like the idea of Pops being left behind, and so I needed a reason, and so I figure, They could be spraying for mosquitoes in the park and everybody's got to leave. And I just wanted, I just, because I, like I said it before, I just really liked the character of Pops, and he's so needy and sad. And so I thought, like, if he's left alone and he's looking for his friends, what'll happen to him? And that's where, like, oh, it'd be cool if he just met a band of post-apocalyptic punks in the woods. And then, of course, because he's so dignified and fancy, he can help them all get classed up. And I thought that would be really fun. Yeah, this was actually the first story I did. Yeah, the first, I don't remember how many I pitched the first time, but this is the first one they went with. I really liked it. I was really happy with it. But this is also the one, like, if you look at the first page, you can see how many panels there are. There were even more originally. And so this was the one where they were like, you have to take it easy. Like, you, an artist can't do this. Like, and there's already, that's already too many panels. And if you see, like, the others as they go, as the other stories go, like, I got better at writing the scripts, so they got tighter. But this one, yeah, the first draft of the script was like a, it was chaos. I would have killed the artist.
I can definitely see what you mean. On the middle third panel, it's also got like two solar panels within it.
Yeah. That's totally like the artist, yeah, Christopher Peterson, probably being really mad at me and figuring out how to get some of this extra stuff in there.
Of course, you mentioned Pops is one of your favorite characters. So yeah, what sort of things was it about Pops that made you want to write these stories and that you like about him so much?
I mean, he's just like an odd character. His voice is fun, and just like this, that like the other characters are animals, or Mordecai and Rigby are a bird and a raccoon, and Benson is a gumball machine, and like they all like are something, they're like either a anthropomorphized animal or a creature of some kind, like a set, like a or a yeti, I guess. And Pops is just this like I see the lollipop. I forget what, I can't remember exactly his whole story, but like he's just a peculiar guy. And I like that he's fancy, and I like that he comes from money, and I like that he's very different from all the other characters, which I really like. All the other ones kind of have that like slacker, dude kind of vibe, and Pops is just completely a counter to them, and I like that a lot. I just think he's really fun. Yeah. And there's just, like I said a couple times already, like, there's just something like a little sad about him, and I find that really fun.
Now we'll move on to the last of the stories which were published that you wrote, The Comeback, which is the only additional story to be published in any of the regular show graphic novels. So how did this one come about, with it being different to being a mainline comic?
This one, the editor, who I worked with a lot, she was the assistant editor named Mary Gumport. She, I was working with her on all of these shorts, or not all of them, but a couple of them. And I either reached out to her, or she reached out to me, and she just is like, "Do you like wrestling by any chance?" And I like grew up, I loved wrestling growing up, like professional wrestling, like when it was called WWF, and but I hadn't paid attention to it at all since, like, out of, once I left my teens, I stopped paying attention to wrestling. But I was like, because these are really fun, I was like, oh, sure, wrestling's like, it's, I could do that. And so she asked me if I had any ideas that were centered around wrestling, because they were doing this graphic novel and they were going to include a bonus story in it. And so I actually started watching wrestling again, and just started thinking about ideas that would be fun about wrestlers. And pitched a bunch. I'm trying to remember all of them. Like, I, one of them involved going to a place called Parts Unknown. So there would often be like a wrestler would be introduced, like, where they're from when they would be coming down, and like if they were like a really like scary wrestler, they would say from Parts Unknown, and I really like that. Like, And so I think Mordecai and Rigby had to go to parts. That was one of the ideas, but that one didn't go for that one. But yeah, I just came up with this idea of, what if their favorite wrestler was washed up and became a clingy, essentially like forced roommate on them, and he was just like kind of destroys their lives. Like sort of like what about Bob or like some, that kind of thing where it's like this obnoxious character ruins other people's lives. I thought that would be really funny if it was a overly aggressive wrestler. Yeah, and they sent me the script with the main story wasn't finished yet, so they sent me the script and they said it didn't have to have it didn't have to connect to it, but it could. And I don't remember if there is anything that actually does. Yeah, but that was really it. It was just like make it about wrestling. And it had to be 20 something pages, like 25 maybe.
So you say that you were into wrestling. Was Don Dynamo like an homage to any specific wrestler, or is he his own character?
Was his own thing. He wasn't really connected to anybody. He was just a, I just imagined him like sort of like those wrestlers that were like, there was like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, or there was like guys like that who were just like big, oafish brutes, Like he was just meant to be like that type of guy, like not overly flamboyant or charismatic or anything like that, just a big lug. So he was kind of inspired by those types of wrestlers, but no one in particular.
I find it funny, but also quite tragic as well. Just like only on the very first page, you see there's this big autograph show, and Don Dynamo is just sat there, all sad and alone.
It's so that is inspired by going to lots of comic and shows where they have autograph alleys, and you'd often see I honestly actually you just reminded me, that's why I said Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Now I went to one of these conventions and it was like there was an autograph alley and it was in like a basement, and the wrestler Hacksaw Jim Duggan was sitting there, and he had, I don't know if you know him at all, but he was in the 80s, and his thing was he brought down a 2x4 and an American flag, and he would hit people with the 2x4. He was sitting at a table alone, no one around him, and the 2x4 was just leaned up against the table, like as a prop, and it was so sad. Like it just looked like it was such a sad image of this guy, and he was just there and no one was there. So that's absolutely where this comes from now that you're reminding me. But it's like I've gone to a lot of those shows where it's a wrestler, or maybe like it's someone who was in a science fiction show from the 60s, or and they're just kind of sitting there, and like I don't know, that stuff really, it's brutal, I wish them the best, but it's rough. Yeah. And so that's where that comes from.
So he is partly inspired by a real wrestler.
He is. Now that you reminded me, yes, he's partly inspired by the tragic current. I don't know if Hacksaw Jim Duggan is still around or not, but yes, by that situation I saw. And also there's a little bit of in the movie The Wrestler, there's similar scenes like that. The Mickey Rourke movie, where they're kind of sitting at a really sad autograph signing thing. Yeah, the ring, well, I can't remember the woman's name, Don Dynamo's ex, when he like tries to get her back, but that was inspired by Macho Man Randy Savage and his ring valet, Miss Elizabeth. She, because the two of them got married in the ring during a wrestling event. And then she ended up with a different wrestler. And so that's actually, so that's based on another thing. Yeah, I'm just remembering all the stuff I've stolen from real life.
Obviously, you pitched multiple ideas. Were there any ideas which you can remember that didn't get to be made into the comics?
I don't remember any that like were particularly great, like they were rejected for good reasons. I did pitch one that I kind of liked, and I don't know, even know if it would have been good, but I pitched one where Mordecai and Rigby lose the park's lost and found box. So like they lose the lost and found, and it goes to like a place where all lost things, like your keys or like your like a place where all of that stuff goes, and they have to like go into another dimension. I like that idea. I didn't know how it would work, and it got rejected, but I like the idea of losing the lost and found. There was just something that was fun to me and seemed appropriate for their for those two characters. That's the only one I really remember. The rest are probably deserve to be rejected.
Obviously, regular show is not the only thing you've worked on. So, how did writing for the comics compare to other things which you have written?
Comics are harder. They're more challenging to write. Like when you're writing prose, you know, it's just words. So that's, you know, that's incredibly challenging to write. But like with comics, you have to, like I was saying before, like you have to think in terms of panels and pages and the pacing. And you have to think about like if I was writing a prose story, I can say what I need to say. I can say the dialogue can be as long or short or crazy, and as people can talk back and forth as much as they need to. In this, you have to really strip it down. Like there were in the in this wrestling one, the comeback, like I read the first script I turned in, there was so like there was a lot more dialogue, and I would have to basically kill 90% of it on the second draft because you just can't fit it all. And so that kind of stuff is really challenging in comics. And thinking about, and again, like thinking like an editor or like video or film, what are the key moments that we need to show that will get the story across? And so you can't just go like, all right, I want to tell the story, here's the story. It's I want to tell the story, but I have to tell it through this device. And so there's always a filter between you and the story, you know. So it's really challenging. It's fun. You know, I work my day job as I'm a copywriter for like advertising, and I was never like trained to do that. I just kind of figured out how to do it myself. But writing comics helped me do that more effectively because it's again like it's how do I say this in three words? How do I fit say this that's going to fit on a in a rectangular shape? So it's like it's been like, you know, editing helped me be a better writer, right? You know, then comics helped me be a better copywriter. And it's like, but it's all like the big thing is how do you do this as simply as possible? And that's what comics are. It's again like it's really comics are really challenging. And then especially if you're a writer and you can't draw, it's you really have to learn what the artist does and how hard it is for the artist and how challenging it is. Because like I said, when I first did it, I didn't consider how much like I knew it was a ton of work, but like I didn't even consider like, oh, this isn't even physically possible for this person to do. They, you know, so you really have to think like them and have to think about how are they going to do this? Is this possible? Are these angles possible? Like all of that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of hoops you have to go through when you're writing a comic.
Obviously, we've spoken about your own love of Pops, but are there any other characters who you really enjoyed writing?
I enjoyed writing Mordecai and Rigby a lot. They're, I mean, they like, if I think about the type of stuff I was drawn to when I was a kid or like when I was a teenager, the sort of like slacker humor, you know, like it was very in my wheelhouse. Like I think that's why I wanted to work on these stories is when I saw it, I was like, oh, I completely get this. Like I get the way these two characters speak. It's just like, so I really liked writing for them and I found it to be a really natural thing.
Is there a particular comic of the five which you've done for regular show which you are necessarily quite proud of?
I think the comeback is I'm proud of it. I like it. I think it came out really good. I was happy to have more space to tell a more complete story. And I think like the themes that I tend to be interested in, where it's like it's a little bit sad, it's a little bit silly, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little absurdity. is it they're all there. It's all there. Like a lot of the things that I put into the other stories are all in this one. And I like it. I was really happy when I did this and when I saw it. Like I've said a bunch of times, like I'm really drawn to like these characters who are like kind of lonely and kind of screwed up and kind of like they're like misunderstood and they kind of don't get their place in the world. And like I felt like that's what the rest Don Dynamo was like, can't help but be himself even if it's ruining everything. I think that that's a really interesting and fun character to write.
So, what would you say that your writing process is like for any type of media, whether it be comics or prose or?
It's a lot of throwing as much, throwing as many ideas at the wall as possible. So I'll usually write by hand like in a notebook and just write like words and words and just try to get thoughts coming out and then just, and it's a lot, it's very, there's a lot of pacing and there's a lot of like unhappiness and like being like, this is awful. I have no ideas. I can't. And then just trying to generate as much, like get as much fuel or build up as much as I possibly can and then sift through all of that, like throw as many words in and just kind of pick them apart. And then start to see if these are ideas or not, or like maybe take this part of this one and part of this one and put them together, and then that gets interesting. It's pretty chaotic. It's very not. Yeah, and it's often a lot of neurotic rambling and coffee. Yeah.
What would you say are, and this can be for any of your work again, your main inspirations to do the work that you do?
And movies are definitely the thing that inspires me the most. They've always been my favorite, form of media, and my favorite ways of taking in stories. And I've always loved movies the most, and so almost everything comes from movies. Whether it's like a little moment in something, or the way someone looks, or like the just a line of dialogue, it's usually that.
Have you got a favorite movie?
I would say probably The Shining would be my favorite movie. I'm kind of obsessed with it, and I have been for almost my whole life, I think. So it's probably like, I don't know if it's the one I want to watch all the time, but it's certainly, I think, probably the my favorite and probably the best. I'm a huge horror fan, and but I also just I think that movie's just incredible from top to bottom.
So, I don't know whether you've heard or not, but there is a new regular show series coming up. And so, with that, many people are wondering if this could mean we'll get more regular show comics or more regular show books in the future. If that opportunity came around, would you be open to returning?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. It was really fun. I would love to do it. I actually didn't know the show was coming back, so that's cool. I hope they do the comic again because I will absolutely find an email for whoever is editing it and jump up and down and should tell them all the stuff that I've already done.
Have you got any advice for people who want to work in writing?
Yeah, I mean, don't wait for permission is the biggest thing I could say. Just do the thing. And because the best example of your work is a completed piece of work, is a completed creative work. So if you want to make a co if you want to make comics, make a comic and then use that as your calling card. Or if you want to make a movie, make a short film, or if you're a musician. And especially now, everything is so much easier to do. Comics are still really hard, especially if you are not an artist and you want to be a comic book writer. But make friends with an artist and collaborate and and just make a thing because it's so much easier to hand someone the completed thing. And also by doing it, you're going to learn how to do it. And so it's there's no reason to have someone tell you no from the beginning. You're going to get told no a million times as you try to become a, you know, a writer in any field. It's just part of it. But don't start with no. You know, start with your be like start with yes on your own, I would say.
And we are starting to wrap up on the interview now, but before we do, I'd like to ask, is there anything that you've been working on which you'd like to promote?
I put out a book last year called Tyranny of the Muse. It's a graphic novel that I worked on for years. It's the first comic I ever started to write, and I wrote it and rewrote it and worked with an artist and then had a different artist complete it. And I did it as individual issues for a while. I did it as a digital comic for a while. It's been out in various iterations, and I finally got it into the form I wanted it to be, a big graphic novel. And I just really want people to check it out. I'm very, very proud of it. It's the thing that I've been working on forever. It's sort of everything that I'm interested in and that I'm the type of stories that I like to tell. And so Tyranny of the Muse, it's on my website, and I would love for people to check it out.
And where can people find you on social media, or where can people find your website?
My website is Eddie, Eddie dash WRIGHT.com, EddieWright.com. I'm also on Instagram. I never really do anything on there, but I'm there. My handle is EddieWright86. And I'm on Blue Sky, but whatever. Don't worry about Blue Sky. My website's the best thing to get me.
Well, Eddie, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thank you once again to Eddie Wright for joining us for this interview. If you'd like to find more of Eddie's work, then visit eddie-wright.com. All links will be available in the description. Next time, we'll be speaking with Connor McCreary, a comic writer who wrote the Regular Show and Adventure Time crossover, as well as the 2018 special. Here's a preview.
For a while, I kind of was like, well, death is death. Maybe it's the same guy. But I'm like, death in Adventure Time is like, he's a real bummer, right? Like, where death in Regular Show is, he is more fun. And so I was like, oh, okay, yeah, like, they'll be cousins. And like, they don't really, like, if I'd ever been offered to write a spinoff on death, I would have loved to write one about, like, their family dynamics and how Regular Show death is like, oh my God, like, Adventure Time death is sure, he's like way more accomplished. He's killed way more people. Yeah, sure, he was responsible for a whole bunch of plagues, but like, he's kind of a dink, you know, like he's so full of himself, and like that actually death in Regular Show is kind of a good hang if you could get past the death part at all.